Welcome to a special Behind the Story conversation. I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking today with three pastors. Ramiro Pena is senior pastor at Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco. Kevin Harrison, the lead pastor of Victorious Life Church of Waco. And C.J. Oliver is the senior pastor of Greater New Light Baptist Church of Waco. More than 100 churches from throughout Waco and Central Texas are coming together on Palm Sunday at McLean Stadium for the first ever Gathering on the Brazos. And that's what we want to talk about today, because this is unprecedented as far as I know. Reverend Pena, can you tell us a little bit how this came about?
Sure. Well, thank you for having us. Drayton McLean had the vision for using the stadium for which he gave the lead gift for more than just football. He has a history of doing that when he owned the Houston Astros and built Minute Maid Park in Houston. He had a series of Easter worship services at the ballpark. So when we dedicated McLean Stadium here in Waco, he approached me, and he is a longtime friend. We served together on the board at Baylor. He said, "Would you help me fill this stadium up for a worship service?" And how do you say no to that? That was difficult to say no to. It's a big vision. It's a big idea. And we settled on Palm Sunday evening. Immediately, pastors caught that vision and began to own the idea that we should unite with so much going on that divides our nation, our different communities along racial and denominational and socioeconomic lines. We decided in Waco we were going to unite and come together around a worship service, and that's the genesis of this meeting.
So it sounds easy. When you just say it like that, it sounds easy. Let me switch to you two. Kevin Harrison, how did you get pulled into this?
How did I get pulled into it? I love that. Well, Ramiro is a good friend, and he had asked us if we would be interested in being a part of this team. And immediately, anything for me that speaks to unity, I'm interested in being a part of. And so he begins to share with all of us and just begins to cast vision. He brings together a team of seven or eight guys initially, and we were just extremely excited to be a part of this. I have a background with working with larger events, and he asked me, "Would you be willing to step in here? We have a short runway to be able to put this event together. Would you be willing to take the lead administrative role in this?" And I said, "Absolutely. Anything we can do to promote unity in relationship in the body of Christ, I'm more than happy to do it."
Reverend Oliver?
Well, Pastor Pena and I have been great friends for a long time, and this has been something that we have desired to see come to pass for many, many years. And when he called me and told me about this opportunity, immediately I jumped on it and said, "Man, count me in," because as Kevin was sharing, to bring the body of Christ together again, I think it's so important, and it's one of my heart's drive to be able to be a part of what God is doing in these times that we're living in. And I believe that this would be a key time for us to come together and see unity in action.
Unity in action. How's your congregation responded?
My congregation, again, jumped on it, and they were excited about it. Pastor Pena will talk more about this, but we have a prayer team that was started specifically for this, and when some of the people couldn't make it, one of our members decided, "Well, let's have it another day," and so at our congregation, so that people could not make it to the other location, they could come there. So it's been a lot of excitement. We're seeing people, again, that were not excited about other things get excited about this, even to the point where they're giving toward it financially.
How about you?
Oh, absolutely. Our church has been just thrilled. We're a very diverse church anyway. I mean, if you look at our demographic inside of our church, we reflect Waco very well. But our church has gotten excited. From the giving aspect, financially, we've just had people who you wouldn't expect to come out and who would give, who just said, "You know what, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of sharing and of giving." And part of our DNA at our church anyway is we've gone out and we've served other people, other churches. We work with schools, with Friends for Life, And so to bring together an initiative like this just completely made sense. And I will say that this is probably the greatest amount of excitement that I've ever seen in our church. I've been there for almost 10 years, and we've had a lot of excitement, but this is by far the biggest thing that we've seen in our church.
Well, that ties into what I wanted to ask next. Are you aware of anything like this, locally organized, big event, cross many boundaries, mm-hmm. That's happened here or anywhere else before? Are you aware of it?
I'm really not. I've been pastoring nearly 25 years here in the city, and I've looked at Waco's history. You know, the modern youth revival movement began in the 40s. Those were big meetings that took place, and began at the Baylor campus. But what we're expecting here, 30,000 plus people to gather, is the biggest worship gathering that I know of, certainly for this region. We have been really blown away by the incredible support, enthusiasm, across racial and denominational lines for coming together. It's been so encouraging to see that that unity build. When someone comes to town, say a Billy Graham-type organization or Promise Keepers, it's really typically been someone or something from the outside that causes a unity for a brief time. They leave, and then the unity leaves with it. Mm-hmm. On this occasion, we see unity being built, and Dr. Evans, would you come preach to us? It's a very different paradigm. And so what we're seeing here, I think, is a movement that will continue to build that's based on relationship. Mm-hmm. The unity is not based on sameness. It's based on relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we're building these relationships that we believe will carry on for many, many years to come.
When you say Dr. Evans, that's Dr. Tony Evans of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship of Dallas. What is the scope? Where you say 30,000 is what you're projecting, mm-hmm. coming
minimally.
Minimally 30,000. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done this before, and it's free and open to the public, so it's not something that you can say we sold as many tickets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How big an area are you talking about drawing from?
Well, we have people traveling from Houston. We have buses coming from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, buses coming from Austin, buses of people coming from the Temple Belt and Killeen area, and of course, all over this city and region and rural areas, people are coming in, and people that we've been talking to that are organizing to get here early, to caravan, to come together, and it's really, we even have friends that are flying in from all over the country. To come in, individuals that want to be a part of what we believe is really history mm-hmm. in the making.
Mm-hmm. And he touched on something, if I can just say just for a moment. He said this is becoming a movement, and really as the body of Christ is coming together here, you asked the question, have you known of anything else that's going on like this? And the answer for me is no. I've done a lot of research trying to find anything that was built around specifically unity, and that's what this event is built around. Mm-hmm. It's built around unity. It's not built around a speaker or a singer or anything else. We want to bring the church together. And so it's important for us not just merely to have a church service when we leave here, but we really begin a mm-hmm. movement that we are serving together, that we're doing mission trips together, that we're praying together. We're doing all of these things together. And so the movement is going to be one of unity, bringing people together. And I'm already seeing it take place in relationships as people are getting involved. And we're already planning how can we do more things together in the future.
For those who are just joining us, this is a special Behind the Story conversation. I'm Joe Riley, and talking with three local pastors, Romero Pena, senior pastor from Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco, Kevin Harrison, the lead pastor of Victorious Life Church in Waco, and C.J. Oliver, pastor, senior pastor, Greater New Light Baptist Church in Waco. Talking just a little bit more about the event itself, the gathering on the Brazos, you're going to have a choir?
Absolutely.
Yes. We are looking for an 800-voice choir.
800 voices.
800 voices. You were asking the question before earlier, about participation. I got a phone call from an individual from Killeen, and they drove to Waco just to get some posters so they could take it back to Killeen and then asked me, how can we be a part of this choir? And so we're looking at that. That is going to be, I believe, one of the key drawing point to show unity as you get all of these people coming together again so that the world can see a picture of what Waco looks like.
800 voice choir from the area, not just Waco now. So clearly, at least from Killeen, we know coming and taking part. How much does this kind of event cost?
Well, I'll speak to that because I've been laboring there. I went to school on other large crusade-type events. And typically, as I've studied them and I attended and spoke with other organizers, in big cities, they're typically talking about $500,000 a night from the venue to security, the personalities, just all the logistics that require pulling this off. Locally, because Baylor is behind this and supporting it, we are able to take advantage of their relationships, our relationships with Baylor. And we're getting the venue basically at cost. For example, you know, cleaning the stadium is a fixed cost. It's very, very expensive. So we're getting it at cost. And our total budget right now, and there are a lot of moving parts, but we're right about $205,000. So less than half of what other events in big cities cost to pull this off in other large venues similar to Baylor. And so we are fortunate that we're getting the best, the greatest excellence in every aspect of this at cost. It's certainly a nonprofit effort, and we're very grateful to enjoy those relationships.
Mm-hmm. For those who are listening, that's just so you can differentiate between the voices, that's that's Reverend Pena there. $205,000. And how are you raising the money? How is this covered?
Primarily through the churches. The churches coming together and giving. We have individuals that are also giving, and we certainly invite that continued support. As a pastor, I'm quick to say this is a nonprofit, and every gift is tax deductible to the gathering. Look us up on the web at thegatheringwaco.com. And so we're raising those funds. We're confident in the support we've been getting and continuing to get from individuals and churches, but primarily churches, local churches from the region have taken ownership of this event and are supporting it financially.
Mm-hmm. There's a quote that is attributed to, and I'm sure it probably was, to the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., that Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour in America. Mm-hmm. And he said that many years ago. Is that still true?
It still holds true. One of the things that, again, is so important about this event, and Pastor Pena addressed it earlier, we're not trying to be the same. But what we're trying to do is come together so that we can develop relationships and people will, again, feel comfortable if they were to come and to visit my church or any one of these other churches because we now know each other. But I think that addressing the issue that you just mentioned, there's still areas that we got to work with. And as people come to know, again, the pastors and know the members of those congregations, it will ease that tension where they feel free. And at all of our churches here, these three pastors that are sitting here, we've experienced, again, the crossing of those racial lines because of our relationship. Mm-hmm. Someone said, like priests, like people. And so because we're able to communicate and have relationship with one another, it breaks that barrier with the people, and they see in us, again, the example that I believe that the Lord Jesus is looking for.
Well, Reverend Oliver, tell us about your church.
Well, We are predominantly African American congregation. We are very We don't have a lot of Waco people in our congregation, and we're a young congregation, and so we have Hispanics in our church. We have Anglos in our church. Of course, we have African Americans there, and so it's a. At any given time, you will see in leadership different races of people. So that's the congregation that we are experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Harrison, what's your church?
Well, if you look at ours, the breakdown, we specifically looked at the breakdown in the past. We're about 52% Caucasian. We have about 30% Hispanic that's in our church. And then we have 10% that's African American. Then we have others that they're above and beyond that. But if you look at our board, for instance, our board, we have 10 people that are on our board. From our board, we have 5 people who are Caucasian. We have 3 who are African American, 2 who are Hispanic. And you know, really, people have asked me, "What do you do? What is your strategy to go out and to get people to come in?" We just said, "Look, all we do is we just love people." It's just love people, and we've tried to break through any kind of racial barrier. There should be no racial barrier inside the body of Christ. There are preferences, and you know we do understand that, and that is important. We don't want to take away culture from people because there are some people that culture is very, very important. But as far as we go, we love to travel all across the world. We're throughout Africa, throughout South America, throughout India, different parts of Asia. We just believe in reaching people with the gospel, and that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Pena?
Sure. You're talking to 3 unique churches. First, let me establish mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. our church is also about 40% Anglo, about 40% Hispanic, and 20% is a mixture of other groups, including Asian. We have a Vietnamese church as well. We also have a, if you will, a worldwide footprint in terms of our missions work. So we are very blessed to enjoy the diversity of culture, to celebrate the diversity of culture. We embrace the diversity that I believe the Lord loves diversity. He loves creativity. That's why every snowflake is unique. He loves the creativity and the diversity in the world that he created. And so we embrace all of that in our fellowship as well as in our sister churches.
Mm-hmm. And you have already said that the theme of this of the gathering is unity. Mm-hmm. And so unity, racial unity, unity across denominational lines, are primarily right now, those churches that are participating, would you say that they are evangelical churches for the most part?
I would say it's primarily so. We certainly have Presbyterian, Anglican, Catholic leaders involved. Every grouping is represented in the folks that are embracing this vision and uniting and gathering around the cross. Our theme scripture is John 17:21, where Jesus prayed, "Father, make them one, as you and I are one, so that the world would believe that you sent me." So we care deeply, all of us, about the message of hope and life that is found in Jesus. And Jesus prayed for this unity. So as I've spoken with every pastor from every denomination, every grouping, every stripe, I've said, would you like to be a part, at least in some small way, of answering the prayer of Jesus that we would be united? And for those that care about that, it's hard to say no to that. So, you know, we have simply, at the most basic level, decided we want to be a part of answering the prayer of Christ when he asked that we would be united.
And so for this, you're setting aside those differences that the various denominations.
Sure.
I mean, there are differences between denominations.
Sure. One of the reasons we're focusing on what really matters in Jesus Christ is we're all coming around the fact, you know, that he is Lord and Savior. And, you know, there are different denominational beliefs that people have and different doctrinal beliefs. And that's fine. We're not asking anybody to surrender those in any way, shape, or form. But we're saying that the picture of unity, Jesus wanted to bring his disciples. He wanted to bring his people together. And so we're saying we're willing to submit. We're willing to humble ourselves and what our personal preferences are for the greater sake of the body of Christ coming together. Because it's far more important that the world see that the church is united than what they've seen in the past. We have to be united.
Mm-hmm. For those just joining us, this is a special Behind the Story conversation. I'm Joe Riley, and talking with Senior Pastor Romero Pena of Christ the King Baptist Church, Lead Pastor Kevin Harrison of Victorious Life Church of Waco, and Senior Pastor C.J. Oliver of Greater New Light Baptist Church of Waco. And we're talking about unity, and we're talking about crossing the denominational lines. And talking about unity at a time when the country, I think, is focused on disunity, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, and the biggest example I can think that's been in the news right now comes out of all that's been going on in Ferguson, Missouri. And I don't mean to just point fingers there. That's just an example that that we think of. We think of that divide between, you know, it's a racial divide, it's a class divide. How do you see this addressing those kinds of divisions here in Waco?
I'll speak to that. Psalms 133 said, "Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And as he gets down to the last part of that, he says, "And there I commanded a blessing." And I believe that what we're establishing here and what we're doing with this gathering is, again, coming to a place where the voice of the church is speaking with one voice, and that is that Jesus is Lord. And in that place of unity, God will command a blessing. And as the church understands that, as we as believers understand that we don't have to be the same when it comes to some of the exterior things that we believe, but when it comes to knowing that Jesus is Lord of everything, then we have to speak with that same voice. And so as we come to this place of gathering, it will give us opportunity, and as we've already stated, to be able to trust each other, to know that Kevin understands what I'm saying, Romero understands what I'm saying, and we've already been behind closed doors. And when we come out from behind the closed doors, the world will see and they will hear one voice.
Mm-hmm. And the world needs the church to step up in this issue specifically, mm-hmm. because you look around and you do hear the divisiveness of what's going on, and we see it played out in news media. And so thank you for highlighting something of unity coming together, because really this is a picture of what can take place. We believe this will be a prototype for what's going to go on around the nation stemming from this, that other groups will get together and say, you know what, we need to make a stand for unity to let the world know that the church is unified.
And you have said that others are already calling you.
We're receiving phone calls. I've had several phone calls, and people have said, would you please come show us how to do this? Like we have a corner on the market. You know, we're learning throughout this process. But they're seeing that we're making an attempt at this,
right.
And we have learned a lot in the process, and we continue to learn a lot every day.
Let me give you a practical example. We can talk about unity, but when the rubber hits the road, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask that.
A number of years ago, there was a rash of home burglaries, even people at home, African-American individuals attacking Spanish-speaking individuals, mm-hmm. robbing their homes, demanding cash. Well, it became evident. The reason for that is because it became well known that many of these Spanish-speaking individuals kept their cash at home. Their experience was not a good experience with banks where they came from, so they tended to keep large sums of cash at home. Pastors came together. We spoke to the issue where some wanted to create racial strife and division. We said, this is not a black issue. It's not a brown issue. This is a green issue. Dollars. That's all it is. That's all it was. And we tamped it down. and we began programs to help Spanish-speaking individuals use financial services, banking services that they weren't accustomed to doing, and really began an effort and a movement for Spanish-speaking people to be employed at financial institutions, local banks, to service folks and say, it's okay, it's not safe to keep large sums of cash at home. So that's a very practical example of what unity brings.
And I will say another point to speak to unity. We do have on our app, we have a Spanish translation that will be available for the evening. So those who are Spanish-only speakers, they can come into the stadium, plug in their headphones into a radio, their smartphone, and then they'll be able to hear exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Let me just sort of, as we get near the end of the time here, KWBU's audience is a diverse audience.
Sure.
We're talking about diversity. And in fact, it's safe to say KWBU's audience is not just a Christian audience. It's a very diverse audience. Do you see going forward ways that this unity out of this event and as you go forward, that the unity can bring in more than just the Christian community to bring unity in some form to the whole community of Waco?
Absolutely. In fact, in this effort, the event is free of charge. There are no tickets. We are inviting folk to bring canned goods to the event. We hope to fill up Caritas, Shepherd's Heart food pantries and community food pantries to the brim and overflowing with food. So that this summer, there's no drought, if you will. When the pantries begin to run dry, we want to bless the entire community and know that Christians care about everybody that have faith, that don't have faith, and we want to bless the city.
We also have talked about one thing that we can do practically is we can go out and we can work with Habitat for Humanity, and we can help to build homes, bring the churches together. Mm-hmm. Churches can get together and say on one given Saturday, go into six different schools that need repairs, that they need work done, painting. We can go in. These practical things that we can do. We want to impact our community just with love. We believe the love of Christ compels us to do these types of things.
I would follow up with a question about what you see for the future. Maybe I'll let you have the last word, Reverend Oliver.
Well, I believe that there's something more behind the scene than what we can even think or imagine. I believe that God is up to something greater than what we can even see now for our city. Our city, again, has been plagued with Central Texas area has been plagued with so many things that are negative. And so this is going to be something that will bring a different spin on our city and a historical event that people can come to and say, I was there at the gathering. I was there. And from that, we will again be able to see great changes. And I really believe that God is up to something greater as we come together as a body of believers, as we come to bless our city.
It is something that we haven't seen before here in Waco. Thank you, Reverend Pena, Reverend Harrison, and Reverend Oliver for taking the time to talk with us. This has been a special Behind the Story conversation about the gathering on the Brazos coming on Palm Sunday at 5 o'clock in McLean Stadium. Thank you all.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded March 13th in the KWBU studios. You can access this program through the KWBU website under the Behind the Story tab. That's at kwbu.org.